Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Northwestern lost, Tony. Say something to put me in a better mood.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Mitch Trubisky played well in the fourth quarter. He did.
That's not going to do it, Tone.
No?
Not going to do it. No. How about the first three quarters with Trubisky and Matt Nagy, who doesn't want to coach him but has to? How about that? How about them in the first three quarters?
You're still of the opinion that Matt Nagy has to go, right? You're of that opinion?
Today, he should have been gone. That should be the lead story. Him and the GM, Ryan Pace. Get out, out, out. Please.
Then you're still of that opinion. Makes me happy. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Broncos go without a quarterback, the Rams and Cardinals both lose, and Mike Tyson vows to fight again. But we begin today with the once and future greatest quarterbacks of all time, Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. They combined for 807 yards and six touchdowns yesterday as Kansas City held on to the ball late and deprived Brady of his chance at a comeback win. Wilbon, is your headline about the Chiefs' success or the Bucs' struggles?
It's about Tom Brady. It's going to be about Tom Brady this season. I don't know how much beyond that, but Tony, Kansas City great is not news. Kansas City was great. They won a Super Bowl, aren't they? Defending champions. They were good, really good, bordering great before that. They're going to be great the rest of this season if they stay healthy. So now, okay, let's set that over here. When you and I talked yesterday, I know you started by saying, Patrick Mahomes, wow. What consumed the rest of our conversation?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's the headliner, Tone. And there's only one question. Do you think he's done being Tom Brady? Like, he's still better than, I don't know, 25 quarterbacks probably. But is he done being Tom Brady? And, Tony, I look at those. I don't care what he did in the third and fourth quarter. I look at the time of the game when it was a game. And Brady, I mean, pressure rattles him. Well, I mean, like, he can't do anything against pressure. And he throws the decisions he makes. I look at him now and I just go, okay, that guy's a pretty good quarterback. He's not the GOAT anymore, and he is the GOAT.
So if I were running a newspaper and I had to write the headline, at least the first sentence in the story, it would be that Patrick Mahomes is a wizard. Because if you watch the last 3 minutes of that game, Patrick Mahomes makes every play, the runs, makes all the passes, keeps Tom Brady on the bench. Will he get 9 Super Bowl appearances and 6 rings? That's hard to imagine.
Unlikely.
It's hard to imagine, but I will say that right now he makes his team better than your team, no matter who's on your team. As I come back to the story, though, the next 12 paragraphs are about Tom Brady, and not just Tom Brady, because I do care what he did in the third and fourth quarter, because after the first quarter, he put up 24 and Patrick Mahomes put up 10. My wonder is, what is Bruce Arians doing? Why do you have Tom Brady if you insist on going deep all the time with a 43-year-old who is not young and mobile? The young and mobile guy is on the Kansas City Chiefs. So what exactly are you doing to sabotage Tom Brady? Why are you doing
stubbornness?
That to me is the larger question.
Just stubbornness, Tony. I mean, to me, that's the immediate question. The larger one is about Brady. But yes, the relationship and the passes he's throwing and what he's not doing and what he's doing something now that a friend of mine who played in the league about 15 years said, it's like trying to make him learn a foreign language at 43 on the run, like this semester. This is insane. You know what no risk it, no biscuit is? It's no common sense. That's what it is. That's what it looks like right now. You're right, Tony, about the relationship being a big part of this. I just think that's the immediate question. But the bigger question is, Tom Brady's 43 years old. What are we going to see the rest of the year from him?
So they're 7-5, and they may not even make the playoffs, and they got tremendous offensive talent. Wouldn't you think it's incumbent upon a coach to design a complimentary offense for the guy you get? Or why get him?
Wait, what was our first? That wasn't our first story. We opened with the Bears. And I say to you every week, this is a guy who doesn't want to coach this player. When I tell you the head coaching in the NFL has never been worse than it is now, you laughed at me a year or so ago. Maybe you're inching over to my side of the argument on this. The Broncos looked how you'd expect them to look after COVID protocols, took out all 3 of their quarterbacks. practice squad receiver Kendall Hinton threw 9 passes and completed just 1, and the Saints, of course, rolled 31-3. After the game, Denver safety Kareem Jackson said, quote, "I feel like the game could have been moved, but maybe the league was making an example of us," close quote. Tone, do you believe the NFL is making an example of the Broncos?
I did. I did believe that justice was applied not uniformly in the cases of Baltimore and Denver. I believe that Baltimore was coddled and had their game moved 5 days, may even be moved another day. And I believed, past tense, that Denver was penalized because you can't win the game that way. You don't have a quarterback, a professional quarterback. You cannot win the game. So today, and you'll be proud of me on the podcast today after your appearance, I brought in Mark Maskey from the Washington Post, who we've known and loved all the years he's covered the league, which is over 30 years right now. And I put that question to Maskey, and he said, and I want to quote him, "The league will not postpone games for competitive reasons, only for medical reasons." And he said what happened here was there's an outbreak throughout Baltimore, and the medical people got involved. But in Denver, it was 4 guys in the same room, only one testing positive.
And no masks.
And they want to get through the season, and they say everybody knows these rules. Everybody knows the rules. So that satisfied me to a degree, but I still think they could have been lenient with Denver.
They could have been, Tony, and I felt like you, I would put that whole, you know, speech in past tense. Because then, as I made a couple more phone calls and did some just listening, I mean, Dan Orlovsky was so convincing, so persuasive of this, a guy who had to wait his turn to get his shot in the league. And he talked about the guys in that quarterback room and just being negligent, Tony, just basically, you know, saying, "I don't want to do this. I don't have to pay attention to protocol." And he said, no, they don't deserve another chance. And here's a guy who played the position and knows what it's like to get an opportunity. He said, these guys forfeited that. And so, no, they don't deserve to have the game delay. I'm like, wow, I am convinced. I am absolutely persuaded by this because, Tony, they all know it. All the players and all the coaches know it. And the Broncos just sort of said, eh. And you know what? So now I'm off of that. Like you, I've come around to the other point now, the other side of this.
What I wondered about, what I asked Maskey about, is would the league reset? In other words, would they take a week off, a hiatus of a week or 10 days, and reset so they could get the rest of the season in? And he said, no, they're not going to do that. They're going to push through. But he does think it's possible that around the time of the championship games and the Super Bowl, that they go into a bubble of some sort because you can't lose those games. You cannot lose those games.
You can't reschedule those puppies at the last second and say, oh, wait, let's move the Super Bowl till Tuesday. And now Wednesday.
But I think they should use week 18, Mike. I think they should use week 18
for postponed games.
I do.
I understand where Maskey's reporting, as always, brilliantly on what's going on now. But, Tony, as we see conditions become more severe, you know, I'm told that people at the top of each sport are in touch with each other more than occasionally, and they see what's going on. And, like, look, if you're the NBA and the NHL right now, and you're not going to have a bubble to start this season and you finish the last one, you're looking at the NFL, you're talking to their people, you're going, oh, my God, what are we encountering now without a bubble, and can we do this? And I think all the sports are having to consider things they weren't.
Well, they should. They actually should. They should be in touch. For weeks now, we have said the NFC West is the best division in football. But then Seattle lost 3 out of 4. The 49ers lost their quarterback. They lost 5 out of 7. That left Arizona and the Rams as ascending glamour teams. And yesterday they fell flat. Arizona got beat at the buzzer in New England. Rams got beat at the buzzer by San Francisco. Wilbon, which was the worst loss?
The Rams. The Rams are at home. The Rams are playing a team crippled by other stuff. Not necessarily COVID, but just that team, the 49ers, doesn't have their starting quarterback and missing. They've been devastated, the 49ers, by old-fashioned football injuries. So the Rams, but Tony, you know what? The Rams are just one of those teams, I think, and they've got some great players and a Hall of Famer on that team in the middle of that, the anchor of that defense, and Aaron Donald. But Tony, they just seem like one of those teams that they're not good enough to get on a roll. They're not good enough, and they're starting with their quarterback, to go 5 out of 6 necessarily or 7 out of 9 games and sort of reach a level. Not now. They did a couple of years ago when they got to the Super Bowl, but I don't think they are that team. So we might be expecting too much of the Rams, but that was still a bad loss yesterday no matter.
Yeah, Jared Goff turned the ball over 3 times. He had a fumble. He had 2 interceptions. He's now turning it over more than Daniel Jones, and that is not acceptable. But I disagree with you. I don't think that was the worst loss because that's a division loss. And those teams play each other differently when they play each other twice a year. I thought the Arizona loss was the worst loss for this reason. In the last couple of minutes, I think they had a chance from 45 yards to kick a field goal and take the lead. And they missed that. And then they yielded yards. They yielded enough yards to Cam Newton and to New England that from 50, the guy nailed it. And the guy took him out. I mean, to me, I understand they're on the road, but it's not like they're walking into a hostile stadium. I just thought the Arizona loss was worse. And I look at that division now, and Seattle can go back out, can sprint back out, you know, and look like one of the best 2 or 3 teams in the entire NFC. And it doesn't look like that for these teams. But next week, I'm pretty sure Arizona plays the Rams. So we could have clarity between them anyway.
By the way, the Patriots got helped by a call, which Cam Newton, you know, it does not benefit from any calls.
But, you know, he's inbounds.
He's
running.
So, yes. There are plenty of other calls against Cam Newton that he should get, and he doesn't get, and he got this one. And I look, Tony.
Yeah, he did.
He also, you know what the Cardinals had to walk into yesterday? They had to walk into Bill Belichick. That's what they had to walk into. So with all due respect to the coaches, terrific, tremendous young coaches in Los Angeles and in San Francisco, they ain't walking into Belichick. So I still think the Rams lost. You're at home, boys. You know, step up. And they didn't.
So at least, even though you think coaching is bad in the league, you think Belichick is good. That's good.
Belichick, take him.
Coming up, does Derrick Henry have a real chance to win MVP?
And should Mike Tyson, Iron Mike, keep fighting? You didn't watch. How could you not watch?
No. Well, it was pay-per-view, right? It wasn't on my
so
TV.
What?
I didn't even know how to get it.
What, you don't have like $17.95? What are you talking
about? Hold it.
Well, Charles Page.
Barkley ordered it for you.
Yes, he did.
Who didn't pay for it?
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Grey Goose, part of Happy Hour.
It's time to hear from the great unwashed. Let me see what's first here.
Mail time!
Is Derrick Henry a real threat to win MVP?
Well, Tony, you know what? I don't know that he's a real threat as long as that kid keeps throwing it in Kansas City. So he's got to be behind Patrick Mahomes. He could be behind Aaron Rodgers as well. But right now, with everybody else having, and you know what? Ben Roethlisberger. So those three guys, I don't think I have him any higher than fourth. But his 1,257 yards this season with 12 touchdowns and an average rush attempt of 4.9. I mean, he's having a staggering season, and they are a threat to win it all. So he should be in the MVP conversation.
So here's what's interesting, and this is our crack research department. Only Adrian Peterson in 2012 is a running back who's won MVP in the last 13 years. It is so quarterback-centric. And I agree with you. I think you got to put Mahomes there. I think you got to put Rodgers. I mean, But Derrick Henry is the rarest of running backs in a position that we have seen devalued in the last few years.
Yes.
People are afraid to get in front of him. They are physically afraid. They try to tackle him from the side.
Yes.
They don't want any part of him. 12 touchdowns already in 11 games. So, I mean, I think he's worthy of a vote. I would ask you this, though. Do you have any thoughts on Indianapolis? I mean, everybody says they're so good. They got pounded by Tennessee after beating them a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but they
beat the Packers, but they beat them on a freak play, Mike, in overtime. It was a fumble that led to a field goal. Are they any good?
They're like the rest of the league, Tone. They're like the rest of the league, and it's up and down. You've got to try to figure it out, except for Pittsburgh and Kansas City. But let me just say this. Two running backs who have been MVPs that we know of, Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton. Guys weren't physically afraid to get in front of them like they are Derrick Henry. Oh, my goodness.
Would you pay to watch Mike Tyson fight again? Question two.
I just did. Yes, it was irresistible. I forgot it was on. And then to celebrate Charles Barkley's great golf victory with Phil Mickelson on the weekend, we went to my favorite cigar spot in North Scottsdale, Torch, plug for
Your
Torch.
Your favorite, yeah.
And we watched this. It was irresistible. I must say, though, I was literally watching through spread fingers because if Tyson lands one of those lefts and hits Roy Jones, it's oh my God, turn away from the TV. But I would pay to watch it again, would you?
I didn't pay this time because I didn't even know
it
was paid.
That's
I didn't
right.
even know it was on. I would watch him, but I'd watch him for free. And what I did get to watch for free was your friend Charles Barkley and Phil Mickelson and Peyton Manning and Steph Curry. And I will say now what I said a month ago when this was announced. Any of you people who think that because it's alternate shot that somehow a football player and a basketball player are going to beat Phil Mickelson, you're idiots.
People are stupid.
He's a professional golfer. Barkley had to do was put it on something green, and Phil was going to get it near the hole. I mean,
aren't you impressed Charles did that, though?
Charles was great. I was so proud of him. He putted so well. But this is so crazy. It's like if I go up to you and I go, you know, Phil's working on his three. He's pretty good with the three. I think he could beat Steph Curry. And you go, what?
You're a fool.
He can't beat the greatest three-point shooter of all time. What are you talking about?
People don't respect golf as much as they should and the skill and the nerve it takes. Charles walked off the golf course into the clubhouse where I was sitting, among others, and he said, and I quote, "What are people doing betting against a pro? You always
crazy.
Take the pro." And of course, Charles is right.
Crazy.
He knew who his partner is.
Crazy.
And you like that event,
totally
didn't you?
Nuts.
Wasn't it fun?
And by the way, Phil Mickelson is so great talking. He can go on TV and talk
Phil's
about
great.
All sports. He's
great.
That good. Enough email.
Yes, he is.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, the Lions let go of Matt Patricia.
And my Wildcats lost on Saturday, but Northwestern still controls our destiny, however important or unimportant that may be.
Will you miss Matt Patricia's pencil?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Standing by for Monday Night Countdown, and Adam, news is breaking by the second.
Susie, Ravens, Steelers postponed for a third time to Wednesday night, and Texans wide receiver Will Fuller suspended 6 games.
All the details on Monday Night Countdown, top of the hour.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 58th birthday, Bo Jackson. Earlier this month, when Kyler Murray said he still had an itch for baseball, everybody thought of Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson. Bo won the Heisman at Auburn, then made the Pro Bowl in the NFL and the All-Star team in baseball. Unlike Deion, who was thin and lithe, Bo was thick and fast. He was a spectacular, powerful athlete in the Jim Brown
mold. Fast twitch, baby.
Oddly enough, Bo just went on Deion's podcast and was critical of tackling in today's NFL, saying nobody wraps up anymore and that he would average 350 to 400 yards a game running the football now.
Tony, okay, so he wouldn't average that many, but how about 150? I mean, Bo Jackson was so great. And I was at, you know, we'll talk about Bo a little bit more here, but He's so great, maybe he goes 150. Maybe he doubles what he did in real life.
You killed the surprise. Happy anniversary, Bo Jackson. Yeah. On this day 33 years ago as a rookie with the Raiders, Bo went off on Monday Night Football. He caught his first touchdown pass. He went 91 yards on a touchdown sprint where he kept running through the end zone and into the Kingdome Tunnel. And he got a third touchdown where he plowed over another much-hyped rookie, Brian Bosworth, who later said, quote, he just flat ran my butt over, unquote. Jackson gained 221 yards on just 18 carries. But revisiting Bo's claim that he would average 350 to 400 yards in today's NFL, in 38 NFL games, Bo averaged 73.2 yards. So let's not go crazy.
Tony, long before the aforementioned, Mark Maskey covered the league for the Washington Post for 30 years. I did, because I'm not going to bet the farm, but I'm fairly certain, 8 on the 1 to 10 scale. I was at that game, covered that game, and got to see Bo Jackson run over Brian Bosworth. You talk about the hype for that game with those two guys. It was like a basketball setting, but Bo was unspeakably great. So don't diminish what Bo says about running for a whole lot more yards in this NFL.
400. Happy trails, that's Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn and Dave Caldwell. The Detroit Lions fired their coach Matt Patricia and their general manager Bob Quinn after their embarrassing 41-25 home loss to Houston on Thanksgiving Day. Patricia was 4-7 this season, 13-29-1 in three seasons. Jacksonville Jaguars fired their general manager Dave Caldwell after losing to Cleveland and dropping to 1-10. Jacksonville's record while Caldwell was GM, a cool 39-86. Somehow Doug Marrone survived as head coach despite a 12-31 record the last 3 years. But it seems likely that after this season, Marrone will join Adam Gase of the Jets and Anthony Lynn of the Chargers on the unemployment line.
You think those are the only two? You're leaving out a guy who had a bye week and brought his team in to play the mortal enemy and was down like 40-7 or whatever, 10, whatever stupid. You think that guy should be employed further? No.
Omissions. Indiana quarterback Michael Penix Jr. out for the season with a torn ACL, and Adam Schefter of ESPN reports that the Ravens-Steelers game has been moved again, this time to Wednesday. Let's go to the big finish if we could.
Let's do that.
Northwestern-Minnesota game canceled due to COVID within the Gophers program. Your thoughts?
Well, Tony, I mean, you know these things are happening right now. We still got to beat Illinois to win the division. We've won 7 out of 8 against them. Giants fear Daniel Jones has a bad hammy. Is that a big deal? A bad hamstring injury.
Yeah, he's getting better and better, but they've got Colt McCoy, who I watched for years in Washington. I think he's pretty good. Alabama smashed Auburn even without Nick Saban. Your thoughts?
Tony, they're still going to be the unanimous number one team. Alabama's that good, even with Saban on Zoom. College hoops, number 3, Villanova, number 4, Virginia, number 10, Kentucky, all upset over the weekend. Most surprising?
I would say Kentucky only because Richmond had been unranked when they played. Last one, Monday Night Football, Seahawks and Eagles, who you got?
Oh, please, Seahawks, put the Eagles out of their misery and ours.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. We're bumped until Thursday by college basketball knuckleheads. Now to get you set for Monday Night Football, here's Susie Culver and the Countdown crew.